Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
Seek the King, and you'll see the kingdom. That's our theme for 2019. Well, how many of you like a good story? Any takers? Nobody? Maybe three or four of you. Come on, raise your hands. How many like a good story? I love a good story. Stories are fun. And this morning, we're going to share a story based on a book called Benjamin's Box. It's a story about a young boy named Benjamin who lived in the land of Palestine many, many years ago. And as a young boy, he lived in a small house in the city of Jerusalem with his parents. And he loved Jerusalem because that's where the temple was, where you could worship God. And even more, he loved God. Benjamin's grandfather taught him many things about God. And about a year before this story took place, Benjamin's grandfather passed away. And when he did so, he gave him a box. And this box from his grandfather was one of his prized possessions. And one day, one of Benjamin's friends came over, and that friend's name was Eli. And Eli saw the box, and he says, "Hey, well, what is this?" And Benjamin says, "It's a treasure box." Well, Eli wanted to see the treasure naturally, and so he opened it up and looked inside, and you know what was inside? There was straw. Now, when Eli saw the straw, he says, "You call this treasure?" And he says, "Yeah, that's treasure. My grandfather said that that came from a manger that a baby was laid in. His grandfather had been a shepherd many years ago, and this baby in a manger was to grow up and become a king." Now, Eli still wasn't buying it that this was treasure. Okay? But he says, "Hey, I heard there's a king coming into town today, and that king's name is Jesus." And Benjamin says, "You know, my grandfather took me to hear Jesus once." And so the boys were excited that Jesus was coming to town. And as a result, they took off to go find Jesus. And they went to the location in town where they heard that Jesus was coming. And when they arrived, the streets were already crowded with people. Some people had cut down palm branches and were waving them. They had taken off their coats and they laid them on the ground like rugs. There was just like this kind of aisleway of rugs of carpet. And Jesus comes riding in on a donkey. And people are cheering and clapping and shouting and saying, you know, "Hail, King of the Jews, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." And when he couldn't see who it was, but finally when Jesus got close enough, Benjamin recognized him, and that was the same Jesus his grandfather had taken him to see. And when he saw him riding on a donkey, he says, "Why is he riding on a donkey?" And a man next to him says, "Because Jesus is coming in peace. He wants to set us free." And as the donkey rode near, Benjamin put his hand out and he pet the donkey. And in his hand, off came some of the donkey's hair. And he looked at that, and then he looked up at the man sitting on it, and it was Jesus. And Jesus smiled at him like he was his friend. And Eli was just so excited, and they continued to worship. The people, they were excited, they were shouting, they were cheering. And Eli decided, "I'm going to keep this donkey for now." You might not think that's much, but that night he went home, and he put it in his box. And he and Eli, they says, "Hey, Jesus is here for the Feast of the Passover. Let's try to go see him as much as he could." So for the next several days, the two boys would go and see Jesus whenever they had a chance to do so. One day as they waited, Eli comes to Benjamin and says, "I heard someone say that the priests have offered money for someone to betray Jesus." And Benjamin says, "Why? What's Jesus done? He's only done good. He heals people. He helps people. He only speaks the truth. They should listen to him." Well, the priests are jealous of him, and they want Jesus to stop his teaching, said Eli. Someone should warn Jesus. And I'm not afraid to do it, Benjamin said. So he wiggles his way through the crowd until he reaches one of Jesus' followers. And he tugs on his cloak and he says, "Hey, mister, I got something to tell you. The priests are trying to get someone to betray Jesus." "Shh," the man said. And he says, "Hey, don't talk about this to anyone. I'll take care of it." And the man reached into his pocket and he pulled out a coin and he gave it to him. And Benjamin says, "Thank you, kind sir. What's your name?" "Judas. Judas Iscariot." And Benjamin, he felt so good because he knew that now Jesus would be safe and that he would not be betrayed. Well, the next day, Benjamin, he took his coin, he put it in his box. The next day when he got up, his mother told him his aunt needed some help. They were having unexpected guests for the Passover. And so he had to go to his aunt's house. There was a fairly big group of people coming. And he went to work right away, carrying water jugs and setting the table and getting whatever his aunt needed for the Passover. And one of the servant girls said to him, "Did you hear who the guest of honor is? It's Jesus." Well, Benjamin's ears perked up at this. He was really, really excited about this. He could hardly believe it. Imagine, to serve Jesus, such an important man, he must work really hard and do his very best. Two of Jesus' friends came to help, and as they all worked together, Benjamin could overhear them talk about Jesus, and they knew how much that they loved Jesus. Well, soon after that, Jesus arrived with the rest of his followers, and the supper began. And as Benjamin went about his work, he could hear some of the words if he listened very carefully. And as they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and he broke it, and he says, "This bread is like my body, which is given for you." And then at the end of the supper, he took the cup. It was the third cup of the Passover meal, which was called the cup of redemption. And this cup symbolized the blood of the Passover lamb that God had told Israel that they should go ahead and sacrifice a lamb and put the blood on the doorposts of their house. And because of that blood, they were set free from slavery. But Jesus took the cup and he says, "This cup is like my blood, which is given for the forgiveness of sins." And so Jesus and his disciples, they're doing some more things there. And as Benjamin is kind of clearing the table and the plates, as he takes them to his aunt, he finds an old cup on the ground that had been kind of tarnished and chipped. It was discarded. Nobody wanted it. And he thought, "I'm going to take this as a remembrance of my night that I served Jesus." Well, Jesus then took his disciples to pray. He wanted to pray, and he heard they were going to the Garden of Gethsemane. And so Benjamin did is he hurried up and finished his work because he wanted to go pray with Jesus. So he follows them to the garden, and he knew Jesus was praying. He could see him, but the funny thing was Jesus didn't look happy. And the Passover is a festival celebrating God's freedom, but Jesus wasn't happy. Instead, he looked like he was crying. And not just a few tears, but he was just agonizing and weeping, and he looked so sad. And Benjamin didn't know why, but he began to pray and pray for Jesus. But as it was getting later, his eyes grew heavy, and he fell asleep. And all of a sudden, loud yelling woke him up, just like it woke some of you up. And he looks, and there were soldiers with swords and clubs, and they were just out there. They were just coming and getting Jesus, and there was a loud commotion, and they were taking Jesus away. And Benjamin runs, and he says, "Hey, stop. And one of the disciples pulled him back and says, don't say anything. It's for your safety." And Benjamin says, "Well, what's happening?" He says, "They want to ask Jesus some questions." And what Benjamin, all the disciples, they just begin to walk away, and Benjamin's all by himself. And he looks at something that he picked up when he came into the garden, when he first came. He picked up an olive branch because he sat down under an olive tree. He picked it, and it had been in his hands all night long, and he had been praying, and he looked at it, and he thought, I need to offer another prayer for Jesus. And he says, God, protect him, be with him, help him. But you know what? He saw that Judas was the one who did it, and he felt like maybe it was his fault. That night, he goes home, he puts the olive branch, and he puts the cup into the box, and he goes to sleep. Well, the next morning, Eli comes racing to Benjamin's house, and he says, hey, Benjamin, did you hear the news? They've locked up Jesus. And everyone says that Judas got the money to betray him. And Benjamin, it just made it so many. He says, I can't believe that I told Judas. It's all my fault. And he didn't want to hang out with anyone. He just wanted to be alone. And around the house, there was just too many people. So he got dressed, and he just started walking around the city. And as he's walking through the city, he hears this loud commotion. And as he does so, he turns and sees this crowd that's gathering. So he goes to the crowd and he hears a man say, Jesus deserved that beating. That heretic claims to be God's son. He should be stoned, yelled a young man, shaking his fist. What's going on? Did they hurt Jesus? Benjamin asked. And the crowd looked at him angrily and says, what do you know about Jesus? Nothing. I don't know anything about Jesus. He dropped his head, and he began to walk away. And as he did with his head down, he saw on the ground a strip of leather. It's the kind of leather, he recognized it. It's the same leather that the Roman soldiers used to whip people, and it was stained with blood. And Benjamin had seen this before, seen the whipping, where the whips had chips of bone and metal on the tips, and it would hit the person's skin. It would just rip the skin off, and it was so painful. And he knew that's what happened to Jesus, and he took that strip of leather, and he tucked it into the belt of his tunic. By this time, the crowd had moved on, so he's following to see what's happening. And as he goes, he sees that the soldiers are making fun of Jesus. They take a scarlet robe and they put it on him. And then they take a crown of thorns and they smash it on his head. And they bow down and say, Hail, King of the Jews! Oh, great one! And they blindfolded him and they says, Prophesy who hit you! And they begin to take reeds and smash it over his head. And the more they did so, the more those crown of thorns would puncture into his head, and blood flowed down Jesus' face. His eyes filled with tears, Benjamin's did. Why are they doing this? A few days ago, everyone was happy and rejoicing. He's king! Hallelujah! Hosanna! They liked him. Today, they hated him. Benjamin knelt down, and he just buried his head in his hands, and he says, Oh, God, please, God, please, God, make them stop. When he finally opened his eyes, the crowd had moved along, and Jesus was gone. Benjamin walked over to the spot where Jesus had been kneeling after being hit, and he saw that part of the crown of thorns, a twig of the thorn branch, had broken off, and he picked it up, and he ran home, and he put it in his box, just crying and sobbing, God, why is this happening? Well, a little while later, Benjamin heard Eli calling his name, and he ran to see his friend. And Eli says, Have you heard? Jesus is going to be crucified. No, cried Benjamin. He's done nothing to deserve that. And Eli says, Well, yeah, my father says that only the worst of criminals are crucified. Jesus must have done something really horrible, really bad. And Benjamin says, No, he's a good man. And Eli says, No way. he's a bad man. And they kind of got into an argument. Benjamin turned and he went back into the house and he just sat in a dark corner. He didn't want to talk to anyone. He didn't want to think anything, even about the sad news. He just wanted to sit there and be alone. But in his mind, the only thing he could see is that the men were hurting Jesus and the blood pouring down his face and the pain and the agony that Jesus had. And finally he says, I must go. I'm partly at fault. And so he runs out of the house and he goes to the edge of the city to Golgotha. That's where they crucified people. And so he runs and he begins to climb the hill. And as he does so, he finds on the ground laying a large spike. It's the same kind of spike that they used to crucify, to nail the criminals to the cross. And so he takes that and he just tucks it into his tunic, and he continues to go. And as he nears the cross, he sees a small group of people that were some of Jesus' best friends, and he goes over to them. And as he stands by them, the soldiers nail Jesus to the cross, and they lift him up. And then they begin to laugh and to mock him and make fun of him. And they begin to gamble for his clothes. And they gamble for them. And as Benjamin's standing there, he's just looking at Jesus. And as he looks at him, Jesus looks at him. And instead of seeing anger, instead of seeing frustration and bitterness to the men that have hurt him, all he sees is love. And then Jesus smiles at him. And Benjamin thinks, maybe Jesus is going to do something special. He's done miracles before. And Jesus lifts his hands towards heaven. And he says, it is finished. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And with that, Jesus died. The sun grew dark. The earth began to shake. There was a huge earthquake, and people ran away. And there was very few people around except the soldiers. The soldiers had to stay there. And something the soldiers did is they had to make sure that people were dead. The Passover was the next day, and they needed to get people off the cross. So they would break the legs of the criminals so that they couldn't, because when you're on a cross, you can't breathe. For you to breathe, you had to push up. But if your legs are broken, you would suffocate and you would die. But Jesus was already dead, so the soldiers took a spear and they thrust it through the side up into the heart, and blood and water flowed. And Jesus didn't flinch. He just hung there motionless. Jesus was dead. Eli just looked at the ground, and people kind of started to trickle away. And as he did, he saw the dice, the lots that they used to gamble for his clothes, and he picked them up, and he took them, and he just walked sadly home. The whole time, all he could think is, Jesus is dead. Jesus is dead. And when he got home, he put the nail and he put the lots inside of his treasure box. You know, it didn't seem very much like treasure anymore. He went to bed that night. The next morning, Benjamin wakes up. Eli's at his window and he's saying, did you hear? Did you hear? And he says, what? What's going on? He's rubbing his eyes and he says, some of the people are saying that Jesus is going to rise again. And Benjamin perks up and he says, you know, my grandfather told me that Jesus brought some people back to life. Maybe he'll do that for himself. So he gets dressed really quick and he races to the tomb. He gets to the tomb and the stone is still covering the tomb. He's dead and it's guarded by soldiers. And the reason the soldiers were there, Eli had told them, is because they thought some people were going to come and steal Jesus' body. And then say, yeah, he rose from the dead, but he really wasn't. But these soldiers are there, and they're mean, and they're nasty, and they just look at him and just growl and say, get out of here! So he runs away, and after he gets away, he's just walking along the path. And as he does, he notices a strip of cloth hanging from a branch. It's the same kind of cloth he knows because his parents weave cloth. They're cloth weavers. The same kind of cloth that's used for burying people, that they wrap them up in and they bury them in. And he thinks this might have been the cloth that came off of Jesus as they had wrapped him up and they were carrying him to the tomb and put him in there. Eli goes home. He puts the cloth in the box and he shuts it. And he says, that's it, that's the end. Jesus is dead. There's no hope. The next morning, Eli gets up and he does his chores, has breakfast, and he begins to walk through the town. He just had to walk and get away and think. And all of a sudden, he hears a young girl shriek, "He's alive! He's alive!" And he's going, "What?" And he finds out, Jesus is alive. He rose from the dead. Well, he couldn't believe it. So Benjamin takes off running as fast as he can. He gets to the tomb, and sure enough, the stone's been rolled away. He walks up to the tomb. He looks inside. Nobody's there. The burial cloths that Jesus was in, they're laying. They're all folded up. And he gets so excited, and he looks to the ground, and he sees a piece of rock that had broken off from the stone when it rolled away. And he bends down, and he picks up the rock, and he says, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And he goes running back into town, screaming to everyone he can find, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. He runs up to a woman. Jesus is alive. This is part of this stone. He's not there anymore. She says, I know he's alive. And Benjamin was so excited. As he talked to other people, the next few days, he heard that the disciples said Jesus had appeared to them. And he said, you need to go into all the world and tell people what I've done for them, that I am the Lamb of God who died to take away their sin. And he was so happy. He comes home. He puts the stone in the box, and what a treasure he has now. And Benjamin says, you know what I need to do? I need to go tell people. So he takes the box with all of his treasure in it, and he goes and to his friends, and he says, sit down, come here, I got to tell you a story. And one by one, he says, this is a treasure box. It contains some of the most greatest treasure in the world that belongs to a king. And he went through the story, and he told them the story, starting with the baby being born in a manger. He goes to the donkey hair and the coin that he received. He pulls out the cup that he served Jesus from the Passover, and the olive branch, and he talks about how Jesus was praying. And it's tangled. He continues to go on, and he talks about how Jesus was whipped and the crown of thorns, and he was crucified with the nail. He talks about Jesus and how they gambled for his clothes, and then he said, it's finished. The price is paid. And he talks about how Jesus was buried in a tomb, and he pulls out the burial cloth. And last of all, he pulls out the piece of stone, and he said, the tomb was empty, just like this box. And Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. But you know something? That's not a fairy tale story. That's a real story. Not necessarily the part about Benjamin, but all the things that Benjamin encountered, that really happened. Jesus really lived, and Jesus really died on the cross, and the reason he died is for our sin. And on the third day, he rose again, and he's alive. Each of you were handed an Easter egg, an empty Easter egg when you came this morning. I want you to take that egg out. You may be wondering, why do I have an empty egg? Well, this egg represents several things, okay? First of all, it's empty, just like the tomb is empty. The egg represents the empty tomb, okay? That's what the egg represents. It represents the empty tomb that Jesus is alive. The second thing the egg represents is our lives. You see, our lives are open and full of potential. And here's the thing. Right after church, there's going to be tables out in the lobby filled with candy. There's Skittles and jelly beans and gummy bears and chocolate. And after church, okay, don't get too excited now, okay? After church, we're not done yet. The candy's not out yet. We're waiting. You get to fill your egg with candy. All right, now you can get excited. Some of you might say, man, give me the jelly beans. How many jelly beaners do we have in here? Okay. How many Skittles freaks? Gummy bears? How many chocolates? Say, just give me the chocolate. I mean, that's going to be my egg. Okay, none of this. Just give me the chocolate. But here's the thing. You get to choose what you fill your egg with. All four, two of the four, just one. But you get to choose. And here's the thing. This is like your life. You choose what you will fill your life with. Kids, you choose every day what you fill your life with. Are you going to fill it with good things or fill it with bad things? And you know what? It's not just the kids. It's all of us. Every day, today, you and I choose what we're going to fill our life with. And we have a choice to make. I know some people, they fill their lives with the wrong things, and some people fill it with the right things, the things that please God. But there's also a third thing that this egg symbolizes. And this egg symbolizes that our lives really need to be empty so that we can receive God's best for us. Let's say I have some gold nuggets or some diamonds, okay? Some nice big diamonds. Someone asked me, where's the table for the diamonds? If your egg is full of Skittles and jelly beans and chocolate and it's packed full, there's no room to hold a nice big diamond. There's no room to hold a gold nugget. Now, I don't know about you, but I can buy candy any day, but give me some diamonds. How many would take an egg full of diamonds or gold? Because you know you can buy a ton of chocolate and stuff if you've got that. But if our eggs are full of candy, we can't hold the gold and the precious gems. And so many times in our lives, we come to God and our lives are already full. God, I'm so busy. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time for this. And maybe it's not bad things. Maybe it's just good things. But we can be so planned and so scheduled or so busy or whatever that we're not making any room for God. And so we miss out. We have good things, but God says, I want to give you gold. I want to give you diamonds. I want to give you an abundant life, the best things in life. And that only happens if we approach life saying, God, I'm open to what you want. It only happens when we say, Holy Spirit, I'm going to step into your flip-flops. And I'm going to let you be in control of my life. I'm going to let you guide me. I don't want to be so structured that I'm not open to what you're trying to do, what you want to do in my life. This morning, we have a choice to make. What will you do with the empty egg of your life?
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.